Okay, we are in Perek Chof Dal and Hilchos Ishus. On one more parak after this, and that's it for Ishus. This is actually a very famous parak, not for the first half, but the second half. But the first half is going to deal, actually, the whole parak deals often with cases of where a woman will lose out on her ksuba. So you'll see there's certain obvious things that the woman does, she loses out, and certain cases where she would not. So those are the cases the Rambam's going to take up.
Hello.
We'll start off in the beginning on Halacha Aleph. So Hanosa Islandis. So we've seen Islandis before. Remember, an Islandis is the halachic idea of a woman who's unable to have children. Okay, so let's say he marries someone who's an Islandis. Now we'll get to whether he knew or not in a second. Let's say he didn't know. Okay, the lo hayulo banim. Okay, and he has no kids with her, obviously. The lo isha acheres lifros larabos mimena. Right, and also he doesn't have another wife which who he's going to have children with. Even though we force him to divorce her, okay, she's still considered like any woman in a situation of being divorced. So she still has rights to the ksuba. So even though the situation is one where the divorce, so to speak, is because of the inability to have children, that doesn't mean that she loses out on the rights of the ksuba. That's halacha aleph. But an halacha beis, abaha nosa isha velo hikarba, okay, the nimsas islandis, right? So let's say he marries a woman and he didn't know that she was, wasn't aware that she was unable to have children, okay? It was a surprise. Oh, mechai ve'lovin. Or let's say it was a situation where he married a woman and he wasn't aware that she was usher to him, okay? That she was usher to have this marriage. Bechein ha nosa shnia, okay? Or if he marries a shnia le'arayas, Bein hikarba, bein lo hikarba, whether he knew that she was prohibited. Remember, that's the Rabbanan prohibition, whether he knew or not. Ein lo ikar ksuba. So she does not get the, let's say, 100 or 200 zoz of the ksuba. Velo tanayim etanay ksuba. Aval tosefes yeshla, but she would get the bonus that the chasan pledged to give her on top of the ikar ksuba. So again, she forfeits in a situation where, let's say, she didn't reveal the fact she's an islandist or a situation of an Issa Daraisa, or if it's where he marries a Shnia, whether he knew or not, okay, she loses out in Ikar Ksuba, but not in the Tosefes. Bein Lamazonos, Ve'alach Armoso, and she also does not get any of the basic needs that would normally take place in such a situation. Ukushakofenoso, when we force them to divorce, Umafisha Benayim, Emotzim in Abal Perosh Acha. So not only that, the husband does not lose out of any of the Peros that he benefited from while they were married. So he gets to keep those, what do you call it, peros. Halacha gemel. So the lama ein la ikar beisha tosefes. Okay, so the Rama wants to understand, why is it that a woman in these situations, let's say by the islandist who, let's say, hides it from him or he doesn't know, but she know, what do you call it? How do we know that, why is it that she doesn't get the ikar, but she still gets the tosefes? It's a very funny idea. She says, ikar, shehuta kanas hachamim, right? So as we know, the ksuba itself, the fundamental ksuba, was really instituted by Chachamim so that divorcing a woman would not be taken lightly. It's to ensure that marriages stay intact. Now, since he did everything he was supposed to do, he just wasn't aware of the isser here. Let's say by the chayav elavin, he just wasn't aware of the isser. So since he wasn't aware of it, ain la ikar. So the tam of the takana doesn't apply in this situation. Aval tosefes yuchayv asmo ba kolzman shetirtze v'tam l'fanav hari amda b'tnai shala. But when it comes to the tosefes, okay, as long as she wants to stay inside the relationship, okay, she kept her part of the agreement, so to speak. Even though she withheld certain information, she stayed with him insofar as marriage is concerned. Very hiknas lo hanasa, very yomedes, okay. But what are you supposed to do? She wants to stay with him, right? She's happy in the marriage. About what she's supposed to do about Torah Asra Osal love. It's a very profound statement. But the Rambam saying, listen, she loves him, right? She wants to stay with him, right? But the Torah says they can't be together. So she can lose out on the Ikar Ksuba because that was only instituted to ensure that marriages stay intact. But why should she lose out on Tosefes, right? It's just, I'm saying this carefully, it's just because the Torah says it's Asra for them to be together that they have to split up. But she's a devoted wife. Lefikach yesh la Tosefes. Right, that's why she has tosefes. Shein maaseha hein hagormen la leaser achar nisuin ela asura haisamikodim. Because she, it's not that the marriage, right, was what produces the Isser. She didn't bring about this prohibited status. The Torah did, so to speak. She was ushered to him before even they decided to get married. So because of that, according to the Rambam, that's why she's able to go ahead and retain the Tosefis. Okay, now that takes care of, let's say, the Chayav Elovin. What about the Shnios? So Lachadal. Bilamalo Chilku B'Shnia Bein Hikar Bein Ba Bein Lo Hikar Ba, right? Ela Amru Ein La Ikar Ksuva B'Chol Makom. So why don't they make a differentiation? And when it comes to the Shnia Larayas, right, whether he knew she was Aser or not, it should be consistent. So why is it different by the Shnia Larayas? Because ultimately it's a rabbinic prohibition. And in order to reinforce the rabbinic prohibition, they decide to go to give it strength, they decide to go ahead and not make this differentiation. However, but if he actually married someone who was Aser Daraisa, the Hikar Ba, and he knew about it, or if he married a woman who, again, remember, those are the third category we did way back when, of the Chiyuvei Aseh, where it is not, there's not an outright Isser, but he's Mevata on Aseh, Ben Yikar Ba, Ben Lo Yikar Ba, Yesh La Ksuba, she should still get the Ksuba. Why? Shechayavei Loven, Shehikar Ba, okay, Ratzul HaHazik Min HaChasov, right, V'chayavei Aseh, Isurin Ka. Because when it comes to those things that are Chayavei Lavim, he knows that she's Aser to him, and he decided to go ahead and put his property, his money in danger, meaning he went into this investment with his eyes open, therefore he has to pay the penalty. When it comes to Chayav Aseh, okay, these are the ones where your Mevatel Mitzvah Aseh, Isur and Kal, the prohibition is very, very light. The Yesh Toshtei Mizonos L'Achermoso, they both are still get Mizonos after he dies. V'chein, Im Lovsa V'Achla Chayav V'Shalim. So too, if during that period of time, they borrowed money to give her Mizonos, they'd be forced to pay Ugushakofen Asam L'Hotzi, and of course, when the divorce has to take place. That's different here. That when he divorces her, he has to actually pay her back for all the payros he benefited from her property. All right, so that's, so to speak, the penalty that the husband gets in this situation. Okay, that takes care of that category. Halacha hey, naha mema'enes, this is miyun. If you recall, miyun is a type of literally a refusal of marriage by the Katana case. So she loses out on the Ikar Ksuba, but she still is entitled to Tosefes. Okay, and she's unable to take the money, that the peros that the Baal benefit from, she doesn't get that. Then and if she went ahead and borrowed money against the Mizono she's supposed to get while she's still married, and then afterwards does Mion, so in that situation, we don't force the Baal to provide her Mizonos. Okay, halacha vav is a more serious situation. This is a case of adultery. Okay, misha zinsa tachas vayla. So if a woman commits adultery, okay, he must divorce her. And ein la ksuva, she loses the entire ksuva. Lo ikar v'lo tosefes v'lo echa mitnai ksuva. Why sharei maaseya garmula le'atzar vayla? This is a situation where her actions cause the status of Isra to emerge. Whereas in the first case, the Torah did it, so to speak. It's not her fault. Lack of a better term, but here she did an action that brought about this state of Isser. Halacha Zion, and not only that, v'heach din nashim elu midunya shalahem. So of course the question now is that if a woman commits adultery, so what happens to her nechassim that she brought into the marriage? Remember, let's say she comes to the marriage with certain property. What happens through their divorce? Kol isha shenidyasa kayemes. So as long as, let's say, the dunya is still there, let's say the land is still available, apilu zinsa notela shalav alecha. She still gets it. She's still entitled to it. So she can still take back the property that she brought into the marriage with her if she committed adultery. Vim haisa shnia, right? O mechai ve'aseh, ben hikar ba, ben lo hikar ba. Right? Let's say it's a situation of a shnia, or if it's, which remember, it doesn't matter if he recognized her or not, o mechai ve'aseh, o shahaisa ayalonis, or she's an islandist, o mechai ve'lovin, ve'hikar ba. So the Rama basically saying is that for every other category, okay, she would get back, she's treated like every other woman. So all the other categories, she's treated like every other woman when it comes to what she's entitled to after the divorce. Okay, okay, so the husband is still responsible for Nechse Sombarzal. Okay, but when it comes to Nechse Malog, if anything was lost or stolen, she is the one who suffers, and he's not chayev to pay back for them. Haisa Islandis, oh, Mechaibe Lovin, below Ikerba. Let's say she's a barren woman or he's be over an Isser, but he doesn't know that she's in that status. Kol Masha Abra Nigdav, Obala, Osh Nishchach Menichse Tzombarza, Ain Abal Chaibe Shant. So whatever was lost, stolen, damaged, destroyed, anything from Nichse Tzombarza, the husband is off the hook because basically, Sharehi Nasala was just Yosetzlam. Because she gave him rishus to make use of them. So that's why he'd be off the hook for paying for those. But anything lost by nixei milog, he must go ahead and pay for them. This is the opposite from all the marriage cases. Why? This is important. Since the very marriage itself, right? He's not getting into the halakha psul kedushin, but he's saying the very nature of this marriage is one that can't last, right? Because it was done be'isser. Right. Therefore, he doesn't actually ever acquire the nechse malok. Right. So again, so what makes this very unique is that since the marriage itself was one that was brought about and under very halakhically problematic circumstances, he calls this not an ishus gemura, and therefore he never was zocha to nechse malok, so to speak. So that's why if he made use of them, he would have to repay her back. Okay,
can you remind us? Can you remind me, please, of the definition of
right? So there's she comes in the dunya, which is all his property. One type of property is stuff that what do you call it? That he has achrayas over, right? For instance, let's say like she brings in stocks and he goes ahead and he can gain the profits off the stocks. Other stuff is that he doesn't have achrayas over. Let's say, for instance, she comes across land. She inherits land during while they're married, right? There's certain things that he doesn't have rights over. So it's all a question of which peros he has achrayas for. Which one is he achrayas for? Is it achrayas, usually by nechse malog, he has no achrayas over that stuff. It's hers. So is it stuff that he's able to get the peros from? And therefore, is it stuff he's not able to take peros from? It's all a question of his achrayas in these situations. Okay, halacha test. Now, ma'enes, ein lo blayus klal, sheim utzim in abal, dabar mimash abba nignav, ben nechse malog, ben nechse barza, and I'll tell us in the mislav yotza. So if a woman does mion, okay, she gets nothing. Okay, she gets nothing from the Baal. Okay, it doesn't matter what was lost or stolen or nixim, it doesn't matter. Basically, she takes whatever is intact and she can leave, but she basically has no claims against her husband. And that's due to the situation of Mia. Okay, halacha yud, going back to Zimsa, and this is the transition into the next part of this parak, to do a few halachas on. Halacha yud. As he said before, if a woman went ahead and committed adultery, she forfeits the entire ksuba. So basically, we don't take anything for the husband's completely off the hook for any nixtein sombarzo or nixtein malog that was lost or stolen or etc. Okay? Now, here comes the move. The law is not a milvad.
Committed adultery?
This is where we at. Oh, we'll get to that, by the way. We'll get to when she admits it. Okay, that's coming up. Now, v'loham izana bilvad. Okay, now here, this should be very familiar. Not just a woman who commits adultery. Ela af ha'overes al das Moshe o al das Yehudis. All right, so even if a woman goes ahead and violates das Moshe or violates das Yehudis, okay, literally das Moshe means the religion of the faith of Moshe versus the faith of Judaism, okay? I'm not going to get into, this is a whole huge area. Objective here is just to read the Rambam and go the Rambam's way of learning. And I'm going to avoid consequences and what Das Moshe and Das Yehudis really are. There's plenty of literature out there on this. But anyway, he says, even if a woman violates Das Moshe or Das Yehudis, oh, hayotza mishum shemra, okay, or someone who ends up getting divorced because of basically the word gets out that she did something wrong and that's why he divorces her. We'll get to what that is later. In these cases, in these three situations, Das Moshe, Das Yehudis, and Hayotze Mishum Shemra, in all three, she forfeits the entire ksuba, everything. V'chol Akas Mehen, and each one of these, okay, now when it comes to what she could take, no telas ha-nimsa medunyasa v'yotza, she could take back the property that she brought in within the dunya, but he's not chayv to pay for anything he did to the property itself, meaning if it went up or down in value, or if it was lost, or obviously down in value, he is not required to pay for those losses. Okay. So now comes halacha yud aleph, which is, what is Das Moshe? Okay, what is this Das Moshe that he's referring to? Again, I'm here just to explain the Rambam. Okay. So these are the things that if she violates one of these, she's violating Das Moshe. So number one, Yotza Bashuk Viseya Rosha Gully. So she goes out to the public marketplace and her hair is uncovered. Oh, Shinoderes, so Nishbas, Veina Mekanis. She takes a shvuah. She's known to take shvuahs or make nidarim, and she doesn't keep them. Okay, she doesn't keep them. Oh, Sheshimsha Mitasa Vehinida. Or she engages in sexual relations with her husband while she knowingly is in Nida. We'll get to whether he knew about it, but she knows about it. Oh, she in a kotzala chala. Or she doesn't separate out chala. Oh, she achilas baila dvar masurim. Or she feeds her husband things that, for instance, are treif. Vein sarach lomar, of course, we're not to say, shkatzim vermasim, benevelos, right? So there could be things that are usher, for instance, basar v'chalav. And then there are things that are intrinsically usher, like bugs or nevela. It even applies to things where she didn't take maaser from, meaning if she serves him, let's say, a fruit, a basket of fruits, and she knows that maaser hasn't been taken, that would be considered a violation of Das Moshe. So how do we know such a thing? How do we bust her? Okay? How do we know, especially the last ones? Like how are we supposed to find out if she went ahead and did mafresh challah or if she's feeding her husband things that are asur? Like how do we find out about such a thing? This says, you have to be a little detective here, okay? Kagon, she'amr lo peiros elu ploni koin, tiktemli, v'isizu ploni hifrishli, hifrishli chalsa, u'ploni achacham tir li yesakese. Okay, so for example, she says, listen, I went to Ginsburg the Kohen, and he took the truma. Or I went to Rabbi X, and he said that this kesem, okay, this, again, we'll get to ksamim later on, but ksamim are stains that a woman finds that are chashash v'nida, he says it's tahar. The achar she'achal, obaleh, okay, and after he went and ate the food or had sexual relations with her, shal osoponi, he goes ahead, let's take the kesem case. She says, listen, I asked the chacham if this kesem was a sign that I'm a nida. He said, no. He goes to have sexual relations with her. He decides to ask the chacham, what actually happened there, okay? V'amar lo hayu dvarim olam. He says, I don't know what you're talking about. She never came up to me and asked me this shayla. That's how we discover she's violated Das Moshe. V'chein im hukzaka nida v'shchanoseha v'amra l'baila taharani u'ba'aleha. Also, it could be a situation where what it called? I'm not sure how this works, okay? But another example is where, what it called? People know that she's a nida, right? Like somehow it's known, okay? I don't know whether it's something she was wearing. She was wearing her nida sticker, right? But she said to her husband that, I'm tahar, right? And he went ahead and had sexual relations with her. So that's the other instance. But the point is that there are ways we could discover in these situations whether she's violated Das Moshe. That's Das Moshe. Now what's Das Yehudis? Ve'ezuhi Das Yehudis. Hu ha-minog ha-tsnia shenogu menos Yisrael. Okay, just going to translate this. This is the practice, the custom of modesty that the Jewish women are nohig. Okay? Ve'elohin advarim shim asos echa mehen avra Das Yehudis. And these are the things that if she does, she's violating Das Yehudis, and therefore she's forfeiting her ksuba. So for example, Yotze l'shuk olam mavoi mifulash, right? Verosha parua, vein alea redid kikol anashim. So what happens? She goes to the marketplace, and basically she has some type of head covering, but it's not completely covered, okay? That's one. Af api she'sa'ara mechusa mitpachas, even though there is some type of covering there. Oh, Shahaisa Toba Bishuk. Let's say she's in the public marketplace and she is spinning cloth, right? Bishuk Vered Uchyotzebo Kenegapanea, right? Al Pitchasa or Lechya Kaderek Shosus Goyos Afrutzos. Okay, so basically she has like this this rose, okay, literally a rose, a vered, a rose on her face, okay, when she's going ahead or on her forehead, whatever. When she's going ahead and spinning this wool, and she's having that rose on her face is the kind of thing that immodest non-Jewish women do. Okay, so that'd be a violation of Das Yehudis. Osha Tava B'Shuk Umar is Rosela Neldam. Or when she spins thread in the shuk, she shows her forearms off to the people there. Osha Haisa Misachekes Ima Bachurim. She plays a little too frivolously with the young lads. Oh, Shahaisa Tova Satashmish Mbaila B'Kol Ram. Ad Shishchonoseya Shomos Osa Midaberas Ziketashmish. Or She basically literally means, Tova is demand. She demands sexual relations with her husband in a very loud voice. She screams at him, you must have sexual relations about me, with me. Okay? To the point where the neighbors call the cops and say, listen, we hear our neighbors arguing. She keeps demanding sexual relations from him. Oh, Shahaisa Mikalelis, I'll be Baila if they Baila. Always a good one to end off with. She violates Das Yehudis and therefore forfeits Uksuba if she curses her husband's father in front of her husband. So if father-in-law comes over, if her father-in-law comes over and she put it in our taste term, she flips him the bird, that would be a in front of me, that would be a violation of Das Yehudis. Okay. Halacha Yud Gimel. Okay. Now Ezra Tikan, there's a Takanas Ezra. Shetia Isha Chogeres Besinar Tamid Besog Beisa Mishum Sneas. So Ezra was masaking that a woman always wear, literally, Chogeres Besinar is a belt. She must always wear a belt while she is inside her house because that is the way of Sneas. Then Lochagar, but let's say she didn't do it. It's an interesting Takana. She didn't do it. Eino Veres Adas Moshe, but if she refuses to wear the belt, she's not over Das Moshe and she's not Losa Nuxuba. Not only that, let's say she goes from a chatzar to a chatzar within a mavoy, and her head is uncovered. But it's covered, again, it's not fully uncovered, but it's covered with, let's say, a handkerchief. She also hasn't violated Das Yehudis. Right? So it's more, and in the second case, it's more if she goes out in a completely public area. But if it's, so to speak, in a chatzar by, through mavoy, then it would be considered not a violation of Das Yehudis. Okay, lucky dalit. Okay, ha'overes al das. Now, if she does go ahead and violate the das Moshe das Yudis, sricha hasra be'edim. Ve'achach tafsik suvasa. She has to be warned. There has to be hasra. There has to be witnesses. So, if you go ahead and spot a woman whose hair is uncovered in Machane Yehuda, bring over a couple of witnesses and give her a hasra. And then, if that happens, she gives up her ksuba. Avra beino lebeina. Okay, now let's say she does that, she violates Das Moshe Das Yehudis privately. Okay, the Yodea she overas al Das. Okay, and he knows. Okay, he knows that she's over this. The Hisra ba below Edim, and he warns her that she's violating Das Moshe slash Das Yehudis without Edim. The Chazra the Avra, and what happens? She's over the Isra again. Who toing? That's his claim. The Omer Avra Avra Akar Hasra. He says she violated this after I warned her. V'omeres lo varti klal. She captures her with claim by saying, I don't know what he's talking about. I'm a big Das Yehudis person, right? Olo hisrabi. Or she says, he never warned me about this. In Rotzel Lahotzi, if he does want to divorce her, hareze nosin ksuva acha shetishra shel avra. He can give her a ksuva. She must give her a ksuva as long as she takes a shua that she was not violating Das Moshe Das Yehudis. She'im toda she'avra acha hasra azu ein laklum. Why? Because she's not entitled to any payment if she admits she's over the Isser after Hasra. So that's why she's required to take the Shvuah. Okay? All right, let's do one more here. Ke'alacha Tesvav. The third category is Shemra. Okay? So how does that work? Ketzad hi yotza mishum Shemra. How can, how does it exist where a divorce could take place because of a Shemra? Okay, what does that mean? Kagum. Sheha yusham Eidim. So we have a situation where there are witnesses. She did something very inappropriate. Witnesses come along and say she did something very fishy. Okay. So all the circumstantial evidence points to a sin taking place. But we don't have actual witnessing of a true maisa be'isser. Meaning again, we could say something very suspicious, very sota-like, but something suspicious and inappropriate took place. We have witnesses for that, but they didn't catch her in a specific maisa. So ketsa. So what's the case? Kigon shahaisa v'chatzar levada. Right. So what happened? So she is alone in a chatzar. V'ro rochel yotze. Okay. So literally it means they saw a person who sells like colognes and perfumes. He leaves. Okay. He leaves the chatzar. Then nichnasu miyad, and they go in right afterwards. Bishas and siyaso, right? And the witnesses jump right into the chatzar after this guy leaves. Umatsu osa omenes malamita, and they find her basically getting up from the bed. Vilo veshes hamichnasayim uchugeres azura osha. Okay, and they basically she's undressed. She's getting dressed. She's like as if she was naked. Now she's putting on her underwear. They catch her in that action, or osha matsu rok lach lamala minakila, or they find literally spit on top of the canopy of the bed. Don't ask. Or, for example, he sees them coming out of a very, the witnesses see them coming out of a very dark place. Or they see one helping up the other from like a hole. Or he basically sees him kissing the opening of her shirt. Which is the easy one. Or they catch them kissing each other. Or they're kind of holding each other. Or one walk into the room followed by the other and they lock the doors. Or any one of these types of things. So in any situations, I mean, it's a very powerful thing. If witnesses come and attest to any of these types of situations, okay, that is a, what it called, a grounds for divorce. In Ratza Bailalotzia, Tate Sevein Laksuba. He can divorce her. Again, notice there's no actual basement here. We don't have a case in court. Rather, the witnesses said she did something that looked very suspicious. He could divorce her. She loses her ksuba. Veinzu Sricha Hasra. And no Hasra is required for this. Okay? All right. And let's do one more halacha. We'll finish off here. Halacha Tezayin. Overa Sadas Moshe Das Yehudis. If a woman does violate Alir Das Moshe Das Yehudis, Veinzu Sha'asis Dabar Mechuar. Or if she does something that's really inappropriate. Again, witnesses catch her doing something that's very inappropriate. Ain't Kofanis Abba Lahotzi. That's very interesting. We cannot force the husband to divorce her. All right. Elim Ratza lo yotzi. If he wants to stay with her, he's allowed to. He doesn't have to divorce her. Ve'af apisha lo hotzi ein la ksuba. Okay. Nevertheless, even if he doesn't divorce her, she still is forfeited the ksuba. Okay. It's not that he has to divorce her for her to forfeit it. And if he chooses not to, she keeps it. No. Shaksuba takana takalami. Now listen to this. Kadesh lo tehe kala be'enav lo hotziya. Because as we know, the rationale for the ksuba is that divorce should not be looked upon lightly in his eyes. But when they wrote this, they only want marriages to stay intact for women who are tsanua. But women who are not tsanua, okay, who act in an immodest way, right? They don't fall underneath the jurisdiction of this takana. Rather, in a sense, Chacham are saying, it's good to divorce her. Better you not be with her. So again, why is it that, why does she still forfeit her ksuba? Because the Kanis Chachamim was that the ksuba is there so that it's not kala be'enav, right? But for this type of marriage, they want to be kala be'enav. They're kind of encouraging him to go ahead and divorce her. Okay, we will stop here and we'll finish this parak and start the next parak tomorrow.